we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Let me show you what the fake president, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., of whom there was an Obama-era, very inclusive and very extensive voter fraud organization operation to get him into the Oval Office. This is him on Monday participating in a campaign event in New Hampshire, where he went through his usual, my dad said this and lies about the economy. No one was inspired by what he had to say.
15 million new jobs, that's good, but it doesn't really connect yet to people, even though they're benefiting from it.
That's how evil these liars are. The economy is doing so great that people can't even connect to it. They don't even realize how good they have it. As if people who are suffering financially are going to be able to fall for that mind trick, you know, where gas is more expensive, where interest rates are higher, where their milk is more expensive than it used to be. But that's okay. He had lots of jobs, and it's a great benefit to you, even if you don't see the benefit.
Inflation down from 9% to 3%, 800,000 manufacturing jobs. But my dad used to have an expression. He said, Joey, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your integrity. It's about your dignity. It's about being able to be look your kid in the eye and saying it's going to be okay.
Yep, the old tired, my dad said, a job is more than a paycheck. It's about your integrity. He's repeating this. Now, actually, that's actually a true line if his dad actually said it. Work ethic and an honest wage, an honest living has always been part of the American experience. But the most tragic part is how this ended. Well, I shouldn't say tragic. I should just actually say par for course, showing that this man is a puppet and not truly in charge of anything.
Anyway, am I allowed to take any questions? anybody here to staff?
For those of you listening on the podcast, that's not me being cheeky or having fun with the editing. What Joe Biden's handlers did is after he asked for permission, the supposed winner of 81 million votes, leader of the free world, asked for permission if he can take any questions. Anybody here, he says, anybody here? Total dementia moment, asking permission from his handlers. They cut the feed. That beeping you heard was the feed being cut. That's them. That's not me editing. That is the source video. They cut the feed after Joe said what he said, and he asked for questions and asked the big question if he is allowed to take any questions. And there was a person who raised their hand that didn't get to ask their questions because the handlers put an end to it. Can you imagine if President Trump ever did that? It would be ad nauseum on the mainstream media how this man is secretive and won't answer to the people, what have you. President Trump answered questions all the time and made himself readily available. But the fake president with the emperor's new clothes is treated with kid gloves, because this is what happens with dementia. You go back, you regress to childhood. And that's exactly what we're seeing here with this fake president.
Anyway, am I allowed to take any questions?
I want you to know that this is potentially the last broadcast you'll ever see out of these studios and what we're doing here. Because the Justice Department is coming here and threatened people and intimidated people and turned people against us. And that's where we are.
Now, folks, we don't live in America anymore. The entire machine is going after InfoWars. They're going after our First Amendment rights in a very real way. Maybe this hits close to home. It does to me, perhaps, and most likely more than it does to you. But of course, you're feeling the effects if you are a fan and supporter of the show, which you are because you're watching this, and we are completely subscriber-supported, then you know that you have no other way of seeing me except on this platform, on these few platforms, Locals, Patreon, and the BCP podcast on the Podcast Network. And I can relate to this. We don't always talk about what goes behind the scenes, but I can tell you I'm not going through anything like Alex Jones is. He has literally a bullseye on his back. Now, whether you like Alex Jones or not is beside the point. The point is, just maybe, American Central Intelligence Agency shouldn't be involved in the censorship of Americans.
I have not talked about on air yet what's happening behind the scenes, because it's not time to do it yet for a lot of reasons, but I've been very honest with the crew. And as Americans, we tend to think we still live in a free country. You don't. And the type of deceptive people we deal with is next level. But I believe in the power of prayer. I don't believe. I rely on it. I know it. So if InfoWars is meant to continue on, because they're weeks away from shutting it down, and maybe next week, maybe tomorrow, I'm going to tell you what's been happening. But I've got to get all the documents, and I'm so busy being on air and doing everything else. I got to get all the documents together. I got to be ready to explain all those. But it's horrible. But it's what we should expect, because we're taking on the devil, folks. The orders have been given to take us off the air.
Again, it doesn't matter whether you like Alex Jones and InfoWars or not. But the fact that the Department of Justice and the CIA are working on orders to take down a news organization, that should be bothersome to any and every American, especially us conservatives and libertarians.
So I'm fighting against treachery you wouldn't believe, and the Justice Department and the CIA, and it's all going to come out. There'll be congressional hearings. It's going to, because when this all turns, and it's turning, it'll bring them down.
Alex Jones being very positive there that even though they may take him down because he is a force to be reckoned with, he will still be able to get his, they'll shut his studio down, but he'll still be able to be out there and get his message out. And that when President Trump comes in and there's congressional hearings and he's got all the documents, that it'll show that the CIA and the Department of Justice was departments of injustice and Central Intelligence Agencies not even supposed to be involved in American politics, yet they are, and that's going to bring them down. That is a level of positivity, unfortunately, that I currently do not share. Now, I know some of you, you like me, you love me, you appreciate me, and what have you, and we can have opinions, differences of opinion, that's fine. I don't want to give you false hope. I believe that President Trump is going to win and that he will be president next year. I think it's going to be by the hand of Providence. I think that it's going to be a miracle from God, because nothing else that we see shows that they are not going to try to steal the election and not try to kill this man or imprison him. It is all hands on deck in stopping the Trump presidency. But like we have the hand of Providence in 2016, I think it's going to happen again this year. That's just something that I feel. But I don't have and can show you, well, look, these are all the things that are happening. Now, there are some election fraud reform things in some states or what have you, but all the big centers and where they stole the election in 2020, no one's been punished. In fact, people like the operatives in Georgia, Miss Freeman and her daughter, were actually awarded for their treachery. the exact opposite of being punished. So I can't show, I can't show you, hey, look, guys, everything's going to be great in 2024, 2025 because A, B, C, D is happening. Because they still have their operation in Pennsylvania. There's some stuff going on in Wisconsin, but they still have their stuff in Pennsylvania. Georgia, though we're seeing a little bit of a shakeup in Georgia. I'm just trying to give you a little positivity. I'm not seeing clear-cut things like people going to jail and people being exposed for fraud, but there's a lot of eyes on what's going on with Georgia because of the Fannie Willis thing. But Pennsylvania still, like I said, is still going strong. Arizona appears to still be going strong as far as all of their machinations and skullduggery. But I have faith that our good Father in heaven will hear our petitions and our prayers of the righteous and will help us save our republic. And just because we get Trump in 2025 does not mean that the deep state and the CIA is going to fold over and all will be honky-dory. Remember they did the JFK. I'm not saying they're going to kill President Trump once he's in office, but they're surely going to continue to attempt to do so. So I don't know if I share that optimism that people are going to pay the price once President Trump comes in the CIA and the DOJ.
But the level of the persecution is spectacular.
It is spectacular. It is this level of persecution outright is, if it were a good thing, I would say it's a thing to behold. But it isn't. And now one of Trump's guys is going to be going to jail, is going to be going to prison to serve a sentence while he is under appeal. Of course, I'm talking about Peter Navarro, Fox News reporting about this incredible level of persecution. Trump aide Peter Navarro ordered to report to prison for a four-month sentence. He was convicted of flouting a House January 6 committee subpoena. Trump's former aide, Dr. Peter Navarro, was ordered to report to prison next week on March 19th to serve his four-month sentence. He is appealing the conviction. Quote, Sunday's filing in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia states Navarro has now been ordered to report to custody of the Bureau of Prisons, FCI Miami, on or before 2 p.m. on March 19th. Accordingly, Dr. Navarro respectfully reiterates his request for an administrative stay so as to permit the court to resolve the instant motion. Should this court deny Dr. Navarro's motion, he respectfully requests an administrative stay so as to permit the Supreme Court review of this court's denial. Peter Navarro, who served in the White House under President Trump, was ordered to report to the Miami prison, and the order was revealed in a court filing Sunday by Navarro's lawyer, Stanley Woodward. In January, U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta sentenced Navarro to 4 months in prison and ordered to pay a fine of $9,500. The sentence was 2 months shorter than the six prosecutors had sought, but Mehta drastically reduced the whopping $200,000 fine sought by the Justice Department. The former Trump White House aide is looking for an appeals court to intervene the block of the sentence while he fights the conviction. A federal judge last month denied Peter Navarro's request to stay out of prison pending a decision from the appellate court. U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta, an Obama appointee, said Peter Navarro must report to prison pending his appeal unless the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals blocks his order. So why did all this happen? Well, in September, Dr. Peter Navarro was convicted of a criminal contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a subpoena in Liz Cheney's January 6 investigation. He did not comply with the subpoena because he said Trump told him to assert executive privilege. The jury previously convicted Navarro on two counts of contempt after deliberating for 4 hours. Now, let's contrast this, of course, to the fact that we have Hunter Biden, who also flouted a congressional subpoena, and the Republicans bent over backwards to still get him in later and to have allow Hunter to do it his way. This is why I don't lack a lot of confidence that even when President Trump gets back in, that any of these treasonous, traitorous, rat bastards will actually pay for their crimes. Speaking of Trump getting back in, by the way, there's a give, send, go to help Navarro if you want to assist in his legal fees. They've wiped this man out. A man who saved us during COVID and the lockdowns by being able to procure PPE and other things and doing a lot of great stuff. But of course, that doesn't matter. It's all about getting Trump, his surrogates, his people, and people like Alex Jones and yours truly, who will not fold and tell you the truth about what's happening. Now, let's get into what Trump has been up to and what was just said by Viktor Orban, the prime minister of Hungary, and how Trump not giving a penny to Ukraine is going to end this conflict. Now, this news came out, interestingly enough, today, as I was in Budapest, Hungary, a few hours ago. I just arrived here to Greece. And while there, Mrs. BCP and myself, we spoke to a few individuals about their thoughts of Viktor Orban, which I'll get into in just a moment. But let's get into the news today about President Trump and the Prime Minister of Hungary. BBC News is reporting the following. Trump will not give a penny to Ukraine. Hungary PM Orban. Donald Trump will not fund Ukraine's fight against Russia's invasion if he's elected U.S. president again, Hungarian PM Viktor Orban had said. He will not give a penny to the Ukraine-Russia war. That is why the war will end, the conservative premier said after meeting Mr. Trump in Florida. Not President Trump, but Mr. Trump. The former U.S. president has pledged to end the war within 24 hours of elected, but provided no details. Mr. Orban is openly backing his long-term ally in the 2024 White House race. It is obvious that Ukraine cannot stand on its own feet, Mr. Orban told Hungary's M1 TV channel late on Sunday. If the Americans don't give money and weapons along with the Europeans, then the war is over. And if the Americans don't give money, the Europeans alone are unable to finance this war, and then the war is over. Which is absolutely true. We have been the teat. We have been the pink piggy bank for the globalists for a long time. And that's one of the reasons why we love Trump. He said, hey, NATO, you guys need to protect your borders. Why are we giving so much money and you guys aren't living up to your end of the bargain and giving your 1% of GDP to defend your own things? If you guys need to pony up. And President Trump made threats to leave NATO, to leave the UN, and he forced action. And once we get in there, it's not just a Trump thing. The American people do not want, on both sides of the aisle, are tired of the funding of the Ukraine-Russia war. And that is the most important thing to these politicians. Because, of course, they're money laundering the money back to themselves. We all know this. It's very, very obvious. The article goes on to say that Orban added that Trump had pretty detailed plans on how to end the Russia-Ukraine war, but did not elaborate. The BBC has asked the Trump campaign for comment, as President Mr. Trump would have to sign off spending bills that come from Congress. He has in the past expressed skepticism that the U.S. should go on funding Ukraine's defense. At their Friday meeting in Mr. Trump's Mar-a-Lago mansion, President Trump praised his guest. There's nobody that's better, smarter, or a better leader than Viktor Orban. He's fantastic. During his U.S. visit, Mr. Orban did not meet current U.S. President Joe Biden, who was expected to be Trump's main rival in the presidential elections in November. It is highly unusual for a visiting foreign leader to schedule talks with former counterparts without calling on the current leadership. But, you know, if you want to talk to Joe Biden, they've got to set the whole thing up and make a production out of it and make sure that it's not during his sleepy time or when they're filling him up with Adderall or whatever cocktail that they give Joe Biden for him to be lucid or somewhat lucid for short spurts of time. So President Trump, the free world needs him and wants him. Now, we spoke to a few individuals this morning and the last couple of days we were in Budapest. And the first person we talked to said that she liked what Orban was doing, that he was, like all politicians, a crook and was mishandling funds. So she liked the fact that that he was for Hungary, that he was investing in some of the infrastructure things. But then also she said he likes football, so she showed us the stadium. It was actually our cab driver. She showed us like a stadium. She was like, look at all this stuff that's being built, but other things are being neglected. And we drove by like old factories and things that are like shuttered. Unlike in some parts of America where all the windows are busted out, they all seem to be pretty well preserved, but they were dark and no lights and they were abandoned. But these look like they were, you know, Soviet era buildings and what have you. But she said that she says she likes what she does and she just wanted peace and to be left alone. She's not like a total libertarian. And that for the most part, she thinks that Viktor Orban was doing that, but that like all politicians, he was mismanaging funds. As I was sitting here recording this, Mrs. BCP was listening to me record this right over here off camera. And she reminded me of something that our initial cab driver from the airport told us about Orban's priorities when it comes to where to put the country's funds.
She mentioned that he puts funds into sports because he enjoys sports. But she says when it comes to healthcare, the hospitals, when you go to the hospital, you have to bring your own food for your loved ones. If they're in the hospital, hospitalized, you need to bring their meals. And you also have to buy the medicine. Go outside, buy the medication, and bring it back. The hospital doesn't provide, only provides the doctor pretty much, you know, and they tell you what's wrong with you and everything, but you have to go outside, buy your food and buy your medication and bring it to you, to your loved ones. So it's not a good situation, healthcare here.
All right, and we haven't investigated that, but that's one thing that she had said. And then the other people we talked to didn't seem as enthusiastic about Orban. And one of them actually lived in the United States and just recently came back to... interestingly enough, our driver back to the airport a few hours ago. He lived in Florida. He loves Trump. I'm going to say, he seemed very positive about Trump. He liked Trump as a president, as a businessman, or what have you. So it wasn't like he was anti-Trump and pro-globalist. He liked all the things that that Trump did, and he hated what Biden had done. He was still in the United States the first year of the Biden administration, just said everything went to kaput. And that was a small part of why he had to come back to Hungary. But he wasn't really big on Orban. He didn't like the fact that he was cozy with Putin. So once again, if you are against the Ukraine war, then that just makes you pro-Putin for some people. And then two people that we talked at the same time, they don't like Viktor Orban, but they seem to be very negative on politicians as a whole, and they didn't really give any reasons either way why they hated Orban or anyone else. They just didn't like him. They thought he was a crooked politician like other politicians or what have you. So obviously that is not, you know, that is four people that we talked to, but that was the that's what we got. So take it or leave it here in the, I say here, I'm currently in Greece, in Athens, but take it or leave it. That's obviously not a very scientific, in any way, shape or form. You know, two of the people just happened to be driving us, and then other people that we bumped into, gave us their opinion, but he is conservative. Now I can tell you one thing, when you land in the Budapest airport and in other places that we saw throughout the city, but in the airport, they want people to know that they are pro-family, that they are about the family. And I think that that's a great thing. And there are incentives in this country to start families and to build your family and build businesses. So from what I can see and read while I was here, as I was investigating, Viktor Orban has done a lot to make Hungary again, or... Actually, Hungary has had a series of losses, whether it's with the Soviets, the Ottoman Empire, etc. So maybe he's just trying to put Hungary finally on a path to victory. I thought that was interesting. So that's what I want to report to you folks today. I do apologize for the disjointed schedule. A couple things have happened. Let me be transparent with you. The internet is not fast everywhere. Generally, I'll go to places that have high ratings for internet because I have a show to produce, but sometimes the upload speeds are tedious. Also, I injured myself right before our trip, and I'm having very, very, once again, being transparent, I'm having huge pain issues, and I have you know, besides ibuprofen, I have nothing to really nothing to combat. It's just I've had to deal with the pain, which has made sleeping difficult, which has really also messed up my schedule. But that doesn't really affect the show. It's mostly been internet speeds and what have you. Now, let me just forewarn you that for the rest of this week, it may be a little bit disjointed, but I plan on being somewhere next week where, one, I will get I will be getting the healthcare attention to deal with this pain while I'm out here. And the second thing is I should have rocking internet. So we should be back in business. And I plan to be in that country for a more prolonged period of time. So we should be back to normal. Maybe not this week, but you know, I will definitely have a few episodes for you this week. But we should be on a more regular schedule, I hope, next week, because the pain issue will hopefully be managed and will be one place for a longer period of time that has rock solid internet upload speeds. So appreciate your patience and appreciate your support. Until the next one, ciao, goodbye, God bless. And if you guys are wondering why I'm making this trip, it's my anniversary with Mrs. BCP in about a week or two, a week and a half or two. So we are doing bucket list items while we can. And don't want to get into any more details than that, but we're kind of in a, I want to say now or never, but we definitely need to make this trip right now while we can. So we appreciate your patience, and I'll have more news and analysis for you. Hang tight. End of transmission.
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.